Honorable Ravi Karunanayake, you have 18 minutes.
Thank you, Deputy Speaker. I have to be speaking when you're presiding over there. I get up to speak at a very important two ministries that have been taken up today. I would like to take Sri Lanka to the tech world, into the world itself, and as a result, I would like to quote certain examples that are there in the fast-developing world, which is relevant to the field that we are speaking today. This is two very futuristic ministries. You can see that this can propel the country to a rapid recovery process. After all, Sri Lanka went through some very traumatic times, and it's time that we pull ourselves together and take it forward. May I, Honourable Deputy Speaker, show how disconnected we are from the world? I recently just saw the military expenditure in the world of 10 countries, and they happen to be the US, which is $811 billion, China $298 billion, India $81 billion. Likewise, the 10 companies in Saudi, Russia, United Kingdom, Germany, France, Japan and South Korea tantamount to $1,625 billion. Now, why did I quote that? I only wanted to show what amount of military expenditure takes place in this world and how we as a country, how we are surviving just to get $16 million in order to ensure that we are kept afloat. The digital ministry මේ අමාත්‍යාංශයට බිලියන් 13.5යි. මේ පුනරාවර්තන වියදමට බිලියන් 7.5යි, ප්‍රාග්ධන වියදම් වල බිලියන් 6යි. එතකොට සයන්ස් ඇන්ඩ් ටෙක්නොලොජි වලට බිලියන් 5ක් වියදම් කරනකොට පුනරාවර්තන වියදමට බිලියන් 2.8යි, ප්‍රාග්ධන වියදම 2.2යි. So in a 8.7 trillion expenditure that is there, research and digitalization basically is 0.0001%. Now, why basically if you look at the expenditure that is there on the military expenditure in the world, why on earth are such harmful expenditure being made at this moment when 212 countries and I'm sure 90% of the countries are faced with the same predicament that we are in? World is becoming frightfully tech-freak world. Human element is fast being replaced by technology. Artificial intelligence, Grok 3, you name it. My IT knowledge or the tech knowledge is not as savvy as what the people that are here who are leading this particular place. But certainly I thought, from my financial background and my past practice, I thought I'll contribute in order to ensure that we basically look at, able to take this knowledge into a better tomorrow. We must use technology for advancement to make people's life happier, more secure, and more quality time-oriented. But is this the case? It is not the case that is happening. So on this particular basis, we must ensure that we utilize this knowledge to get Sri Lanka to a better tomorrow. Science and technology cannot replace biology. They can enhance our understanding of our application of biological principles, but cannot substitute it. Human being cannot and won't be substituted. A man or a woman, how can you have robotics coming and replacing? That won't be the case. A man would be a man, a lady would be a lady. A child, no way what you can do. A child would be born, this can't be replaced by robotics. Man can be sent to the moon, but a man has a nature call, he has to answer the call. You can't have technology short-circuit in that. Government has to be run humanly. You can't have artificial intelligence to run government. So all I want to show, there is a human element that cannot be substituted. But technology can be brought in to substitute between or to supplant between the areas of the deficiency. I call the government expenditure on digital economy and science and technology should be fully tax exempted. Unfortunately, I don't see that. With the IMF that has basically given a prescription and thinking that's panacea for all this, it's not the case. I would basically call upon the government and the minister to ensure that we have the tax deducted fully on such expenditure, whether it's research and development, whether it's digital software, whether it's royalty, whether it's capital expenditure on hardware, whether it's cost of labour, whatever it is, we need to have this fully exempted. Or even to the extent, like when I was finance minister, we gave certain qualifying expenditure, which was 200 to 300%, in order to boost the expenditure on this particular area. Or an expenditure-based tax deduction. Why I mention this is the way the direction the country should basically go. 3 to 4, 5% research and development are the hallmarks of successful governments that have moved this from what it was to what it is today. Korea, USA, India, UK, Singapore have been the success stories of this. So we must be able to emulate such strategic decisions that have been made, because the expenditure made in research and development may sometimes be 60% right, 40% may go away. But that is the investment that needs to be made in today's context. Honourable Deputy Speaker, my intention here is to show, while Sri Lanka has been 77 years in independence, have we really managed to get economic independence? Now we have lost out on many. We had missed opportunities. In 52, we lost on a Sinhala-only policy that was there when we should have been able to embrace Sinhala, Tamil and English and get into the world. Then in 1977, thanks to J.R. Jayawardene, we managed to get in the open economy. But there are again distortions of that. Reinterpretation in various ways has given a distorted approach, and we basically virtually missed the opportunity at that moment. Then digitization. These are loosely used words, but whether we are having the competence to ensure that we take this technology so that what we have lost out could be caught up by a younger generation that is coming to give leadership into the future. Now, Deputy Speaker, while mentioning this, I want to ensure that we must have sincerity in purpose of able to get this done. Now, while we are explaining that we would like to see 3, 4, 5% of research and development, and ensuring that 0.01% is expended from the budget to such a thing won't walk the talk. Now, why do we want to have such digitization or digital platform or digital economy? We need to have a national digital infrastructure development. Create the backbone. Then also get in the mindset of the people attuned to the changing world. Because there is a resentment that development is basically moving away from the normal traditional approach. Now that is the wrong notion. We must be able to take that risk and take it to the unknown world. Otherwise we'll be like frogs in the well that we are not able to see the rest of the world. We must see success stories, not for the sake of speaking that we have got to do. Then in order to have the national digital infrastructure development, we need to have the backbone that has got to be done with high-speed internet expressions, ensure the 5G concepts that are there and take it forward. National data centers and cloud adoption, you know, these are the areas that we can take it to a better tomorrow. Then the e-governance and digital public service. I think this is a singular success story that we need to basically take our country forward. India, with the Aadhaar system, that's a unique identification number that was there in India, transform India from a backward-looking India to a very forward, high-moving country that is into the world. And Prime Minister Modi, with his sagacity, managed to ensure that a backward India has been pushed to a very transformation-oriented country into the future. Now, when I was Finance Minister in 2015, under the auspices of the Prime Minister then, Mr. Wickremasinghe, and President Maithripala Sirisena, we tried our very best in order to bring the unique identification system. But the stiff resistance that came from the government, the bureaucracy, basically defeated the purpose. And I call upon the government, while the enthusiasm is there, the words are spoken. If you don't walk the talk, it will be the same story that history will basically say, we tried, but there was no participation in the process. So I'm calling upon the government to ensure that let us put the money where our mouth is and ensure, let us ensure that we basically take this and ensure the unique identification number is brought into the process. This process will certainly ensure social cost that today is being misused. Today when you talk of Aswasuma, there are 2.3 million families, but do they rightfully, what should be who should really get is not getting, and who shouldn't get is getting it. So that's the reason why this digitization process will certainly help to eradicate layers of inefficiency and corruption in the process. So let's ensure that we have that. Then the next one, Deputy Speaker, we must ensure that the paperless government. Now this has been spoken for the last 15 years. Not that these are unknown, but it's simply not being looked at. And I'm happy that there is a fairly knowledgeable team that is there taking it forward. Ensure that he is taken to the next opportunity. Don't allow the bureaucracy itself to take that decision. Politically, it has to be led. There can be out of 10, 10, 9 may be right, 1 may be wrong. But you have to dare the system. If you sit back and expect everything to happen, it will never happen. And I'm talking with experience on this. So paperless government is absolutely necessary. Implement a blockchain-based governance for secure and transparent document management. We are talking of artificial intelligence. Ensure that we basically take the advantage. Look at Donald Trump. He basically got elected on the 21st of January, 3 months ago, and today with the Department of Government Efficiency under Elon Musk, he is basically transforming a sense of urgency to cut $2 trillion expenditure. Now, that $2 trillion expenditure is not only pruning down costs that are relevant, but also putting the required, you know, the money that is so dearly required into more efficient areas that are there. So this is the other one that this government must basically look at. Look at 8.7 million, even though expenditure, 8.7 trillion is the expenditure that is there for this budget, the relevant capital expenditure is only 1.3 trillion. And also on the basis of actual application and implementation process, we have already lost 3 months in the process. We are already in March. So, Honourable Deputy Speaker, my intention is to ensure, while the enthusiasm and the way forward is known, you have got to ensure it is taken to the implementation process as soon as possible. Then, on the basis of connected digital government, now this is something which basically needs to be done yesterday and not tomorrow. I am taking a classic example on the areas of exports. This is the area where we have a lot of problems that are there. The ASICUDA system is something that can unite all the government departments and the processors together. Unfortunately, customs, the export licenses, the certificate of origin from the Department of Commerce, the banks don't synchronize and work together. So I'm sure the Deputy Minister, who's very knowledgeable, and also the Minister that is basically leading it, please ensure that you cut the red tape that is there. Bureaucracy wants political leadership, because if they do a thing in the right direction, and if it goes wrong, they feel that they have a worry that they have come before the FCIDU or something like that. These are people who have gone through with this harassment. So we must ensure that we give them a freedom to ensure that they are able to deliver on the basis of how we have got to go forward. Now, another area that we have got to look at, during Corona, Deputy Speaker, the country was functional, even though the country was closed for 5-6 months. So it just shows the human intervention is required where necessary, but it's not necessary everywhere. That is the question that has got to be done. Now, at that time, you had the passports operating, you had the immigrations operating, you had the health system operating, while the country was closed. So that shows that technology can take it to the better tomorrow. 10 years ago, people are flying over from one end to the other end of the world. Today, Zoom technologies, today the digitalized world, you are able to be virtually at all meetings that are there. Now, President Honorable Sarnaika speaks with IMF. Normally, either IMF president comes here or the president goes there. But today, the virtual happening basically shrinks the world. And that is the necessary, that you have cost reduction and get the optimum resources out of that advantage that we have got to do. Now, while doing this, I quote example from the CEB, because while I was also Minister of Power and Energy for one short period, there were 29,000 people working there. There were 3,900 people who were going to read electricity meters. Now, instead of the digitalization process, if you had a digitization process, you will basically be able to have smart metering that goes on. And smart metering would not have tampering around with the human intervention that is there, but you have direct intervention from CB to the consumer. Your bills are known, your costs are reduced, and your efficiency is improved 10 times over. But the fear of 3,900 going on strike basically retarded the process of the digitalization process of the CEB. So I call upon the government. These are the areas, if you want to show proof, here is the way to go forward. Look at the expressways. Now you see that the expressways revenues are coming in. But you still have a manual intervention. You have 5-6 counters where a person who gives a ticket at this end, and 2-4 hours at the destination, you have another one who collects the money for that piece of paper that is given. But the ETCs, it is only functional in Katunayake. Now, these are the areas where the world is going forward and we are retarding. We have got to take... I am not saying to displace the people. You can use them for more productive use. That is there, the beautification process, the expressway, revenue gaining basis, methods that can be used, and also to ensure they are used humanly for better things than just be staring at a particular counter, giving a ticket at this end and just collecting the money at the other end. ETC cards, do the job, less human intervention, more revenue. As well as you saw during when there was a resistance on union action that was there, revenues went up 30% when the army was running the place there. So you could see that there is distortion that is there. And as the Minister of Justice is also here, and he's been very vocal and very active these days, ensure that these type of things are brought in. Ensure that we don't need to retire the government servants. We have 1.6 million government servants, which is one of the highest in the world.
Honourable Ravi Karunanayake, you have 2 more minutes.
Yes, Honourable Deputy Speaker, Mr. Gayantha Karunathiri will give me 3 minutes more on that basis. So I'm going on the basis that this type of 1.5 trillion, it has to have a cost-benefit analysis. We must have value for money. We must ensure that we maximize the government service spend that is there. There is no point saying we have 1.6 million when you can use the people for a better future tomorrow. Then on the basis of digital economy, these are the areas where you must give tax incentives for startups, digital startups that are there. So please ensure, forget the problems that come about with the IMF on saying that tax incentives that are there. We need, if we don't give tax incentives, you will basically discourage that people to put the investment that is there. Then the next one is cashless economy. Ensure that we have a cashless economy drive that is there. Because that is, the more we meddle around with money moving, we basically are basically looking at the dead past. But if you look at the digital economy going forward, that means the cashless economy. That is where you bring it into the formal economy. Your revenues will be much greater. You are called upon to have 5 trillion revenues, that is 15% of GDP, growth of 5% every year. So unless you have the digitalization process, which will basically help you to increase revenue, be more user-friendly, as well as ensure that the efficacy of collecting the revenue that is required. Then the other one is agriculture. The agriculture is an area which can use the digitalization process in an extremely profitable way. I quote at this particular moment, and I was happy to see that the Bank of Ceylon has come forward. I quote this from the Business Today, page 40. Drones are transforming agriculture in Sri Lanka, support of the Bank of Ceylon. Professor Buddhi Marambe, an expert in climate smart agriculture from the University of Peradeniya, has been a key player in this initiative. Why I mentioned, where there is initiative and it has shown to prove that there is a way forward in the correct direction, we need to recognize them. Today, many do, and it's hidden behind, the talent is not basically exposed. Always a politician comes forward instead of giving the credit to the person who really got to do so. And this is, I thought, laudable, and ensure that this technology is taken to a better tomorrow. And today, අපේ ලොකුම ප්‍රශ්නේ වන්නේ අපේ වී ඵලදායිතාවය. අපි කතා කරන නිෂ්පාදන වියදමට මෙතන 130ක් 140ක් අපි කිලෝ එකට ගෙවනවා කියලා. එහෙම වුණොත් හාල් එක අන්තිමට 250ට 260ට 270ට මොනා කතා කරත් අන්තිමට වඳුර කෑවත් මොනරු කෑවත් කිව්වත් අන්තිමන මිල වැඩි වෙනවා ඒ වගේ. ඵලදායිතාවය වැඩි කරන එක තමයි අවශ්‍ය වන්නේ. අපේ වියට්නාමයේ, කැම්බෝඩියාවේ, තායිලන්තයේ, මලේසියාවේ කිලෝ අක්කරයකින් කිලෝ 6000ක්, 6500ක්, 7000ක් ලැබෙනකොට ලංකාවේ 4500යි. You can use this artificial intelligence. Weather reporting, නේද නාමල් මන්තුමා මම දැක්කේ නෑ ඔබතුමා මෙතන සිටිනවා. ඒක පාවිච්චි කරන්න. මම එදා consultative committee ඇවිල්ලා කිව්වේ මට මේ radical reform එකක් ඇති කරන එක. මොකද අපි අවුරුදු 27ක් පාර්ලිමේන්තේ හිටලා අපි මේ හැම අවුරුද්දෙම කතා කරනවා අහලා මේක 102යි අන්තිමට යම් විදිය වැඩක් බවට පරිවර්තනය වෙන්නේ. අන්තිමට කියන්නේ එදාත් මේක වුණා මෙදාත් මේක වෙනවයි කියලා හරියන්නේ නැහැ. අපි ලංකාව වෙනස් ආකාරයකට ගෙනියන්න අවශ්‍යයි. දැන් නැති ආණ්ඩුවකුත් ඇවිල්ලා තිබෙනවා. දැන් උන් හොඳ නැහැ, මුන් හොඳ නැහැ, උඹලත් හොඳ නැහැ කියලා කිව්වොත් මේක රටට හොඳ නැහැ නේද? ඒ නිසා අපි ඔක්කොම ඒක රාශියල මේ රට ගැන කතා කළා. නැත්තම් සුද්දගෙන් ගත්ත බලෙන් අපි එදා 1948 ඉඳන් කරපු සංවර්ධනයේ සමහරට අපිට පේන්න නැහැ මේ දවස්වල. ඉතින් හිතන සුද්දට කරන්න පුළුවන් දේ ඇයි අපි කළ නැත්තේ? These are the areas that artificial intelligence and the digitization process must be taken advantage. කෘෂි කර්මයේ මේක තමයි හොඳම අවස්ථාව. මේ සම්බන්ධයෙන් කරන්න මොකෝ යම් විදියෙන් ඒක තුලින් තමයි ඉදිරියට ගෙනියන්න පුළන්නේ. Industrialization of automation is required. Today labor is a very costly exercise. But if you basically go on the industrialization automation process, that will help us to take it to a better tomorrow. Then education. Today digital literacy. Today my knowledge is far less than what my daughters today are basically having. They come and tell us something and we look as if we are dumbstruck. But the actual situation, the world is moving. We have to adapt ourselves. And just because we don't know doesn't mean we stop. We let it happen to the unknown. Give us the opportunity to give that leadership that is there. And I thought it is necessary to give political leadership. And I thought experience is necessary. While basically speaking, ensure that the only way forward is lead the government servants to get that job done in the manner that is required. Now there are many promises at this moment. You all have to be given a time to ensure that you come out. But after 1 year, don't come back and say, blame the 76 years that are there. You'll be part of the 77, also of the non-delivery. So, e nisa tamai ma eka rashi vela kiyanne, api rata hadanawa nan, etoda tiyana durulata, avurudu 76k 77k deshapalane karanne nemei. මේ රාජ්‍ය තුල තියෙන ත්‍රස්තවාදයත් අපි නිවැරදි කරන්න අවශ්‍යයි. ඒක මේ ආටිෆිෂල් ඉන්ටෙලිජන්ස් මේ ඩිජිටයිසේෂන් ප්‍රොසෙස් එක මේක තුලින් ඒ අකාර්යක්ෂමතාවය නැති කිරීමේ වැඩපිළිවෙලක් අපි ඇති කරන්න පුළුවන් කියන එක තමයි මම මේ අවස්ථාවේ කියන්න අවශ්‍ය වන්නේ. Education digital literacy I can remember the chain that Ranil Wickremesinghe did when he was the education minister. I can remember Lalit Athulath Mudali bringing in a revolutionary change, bringing computers, bringing the move forward. At that time, computers, when it was looked at, people are telling these are going to have impotency that is there. But today, you can't live without that computer. So that doesn't mean that there is an impotent world. So, Honorable Deputy Speaker, all I want to basically tell you at this particular moment, let's ensure that we have a target. Take this country to a growth rate of 5 to 6%. If we are looking...
Honorable Ravi Karunanayake, we exhausted your additional minutes.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, I'll certainly heed your request and just give me. Then the STEM, that is the areas of STEM education. These are the areas that we can create into the future. Then coding and core subjects that are there. Also, artificial intelligence, robotic training centers must be done. And online universities. Today, we have 176,000 students that basically succeed in the A-levels out of 240,000. But only 55,000 get in the government universities. So ensure that we have universities, private universities, and then take it to a better tomorrow. And end of the day, all I want to say is, while ensuring these are done, we must also ensure data protection laws that are there. Honorable Minister, that you are there, ensure that you have the data protection laws that are there. Ensure that you have court systems that are going into this particular one. I heard you saying there's 1 million cases that are...
Honorable Ravi Karunanayake, could you please conclude?
And the next one is cybercrime task force. Ensure that we give them the necessary assistance that is there. And next year when we look at, ensure that we have succeeded, a 70% success story instead of only a 5% talk story. Thank you very much. And ensure that we take Sri Lanka to a better tomorrow. Thank you, Deputy.